Hello there. Welcome to writing lesson number 19. Today we're going to talk about the future. We're going to see three messages talking about the short-term future. In other words, we're going to talk about situations that are going to happen in the same day or maybe in the same week. So these are not very big, very important plans or anything. We're only talking about little decisions that are going to change your day or your week. Two of these messages are going to be very informal. They are just a plan about what people are going to do later in the same day. The other one is a more formal kind of message, which gives details about the plans for a week. So we're going to see a few different strategies being used in these messages, and I want you to pay attention to how these people communicate. So enough talking, let's get started, shall we? So this is the first message. It's a message from a guy named Thomas Weinrich to Eleanor Moore. Now take a look at the way that he starts the message. Hey, El. So this is extremely casual. This is probably not going to be anything work-related, right? So let's take a look at the content of this message. Well, he starts by saying, "How's it going?" So he starts the message with a very relaxed, very casual, "How's it going?" And then he says, "Just sending you this message to let you know that we're all planning to do something after work this Friday." So here he is talking a little bit about the future, about what the plans are, but this is also an invitation, right? And what is he planning to do? What is he inviting Eleanor to do? Well, let's take a look at the blanks and find out. So we're all planning to be together, to get together, or to go together. So it can't be option C, because we're planning to go together after work this Friday. Go where? If you don't have that information, then the verb to go is a little bit incomplete. So now our choice is between be together and get together. So grammatically speaking, be together is fine, as is get together. Both would fit in this blank. However, the meaning is quite different. If you use be together, the verb to be gives me the idea that this is a static kind of situation. It's not a change. If you say, for example, that you are together with someone, that kind of gives me the idea that you have a relationship. But if you say get together, that means that you are going to do something. This is more active than be together. Get together means that you're going to meet, you are going to, well, get together. So since this is a plan for the future, they are planning an action, which means get together is the best option for us in this situation. Then he says, "We're gonna do something, Paddy's at about 6, grab a couple of beers and watch the game. Want to join us?" So as you can see, he's planning a happy hour kind of situation. And then he says where they're going, Paddy's, which is the name of a bar, I imagine. And he also says when they're going there, at about 6, you know, maybe 5:30, maybe 6:15, so about 6. And he also says what they're going to do, which is grab a couple of beers and watch the game. So before we take a look at the blank, let me just mention this expression here, grab a beer. So literally, grab means agarrar. But in this context, when you talk about a drink or maybe talk about coffee, then grab means pretty much the same as get, or maybe drink or have. So if you want to have like a coffee break with someone, you can say something like, "Hey, let's grab some coffee. Let's grab some coffee. So let's go somewhere and drink some coffee. Have some coffee." Just be careful, because this doesn't mean that the verb to grab is always equivalent to drink or to have. But you can very often use it to talk about food or drinks. You could also say, "Let's grab lunch. Let's grab lunch." This is a very informal way of inviting someone to have coffee or to have lunch with you. So anyways, enough about that. Let's talk about the blank. So we have three options here. We're gonna head to Patty's, we're gonna have to Patty's, or we're gonna hand to Patty's. So which one of these three is the best option? Well, we're gonna hand to Patty's. Doesn't quite work. That verb doesn't mean anything in this situation. We're gonna have to Patty's. That also doesn't say anything, because when you say we're gonna have to, I'm gonna expect you to say we're gonna have to do something. So it needs a verb and it talks about obligation. However, if you use option A, head to, then you can use that to talk about movement. So for example, you see somebody leaving the office and then you ask them, oh, where are you headed? What this means is, where are you going? What is your destination? What is the direction you're going? And then the person could say, I'm heading home. So head can, in a few contexts, be used in the same way as go. So let's choose option A. We're gonna head to Patty's, which is similar to we're gonna go to Patty's. And this is the first message. So it's pretty short, right? It's just Thomas talking to Eleanor, who he calls L, and he is making this casual invitation, like, let's go have a beer. Everybody's going. I want you to come too. So he says at the end, wanna join us? Do you want to come along with us? Do you want to be together with us at this place? So now let's see what Eleanor thinks of the invitation. Well, she says, hey, Tom. So she's also using his nickname. And she says, sounds great. I'll try to finish all my stuff a little something so that I can join you guys. Let's take a closer look at this expression, so that. So that talks about motivation, for the reason for which you do something. So for example, you could say, I arrive early at work so that I can also leave early. So you work 8 hours a day, and leaving the office at 5 gets you in trouble because the traffic is horrible. So what you do is you start arriving 1 hour earlier so that you can leave at 4. So that's why you have so that I, so that he, so that I can do something. So what about the rest of the phrase? The first part with the blank. Well, I'll try to finish all my stuff a little later, a little earlier, or a little before. Well, later doesn't really make sense, right? Because if she wants to accept an invitation but she has a lot of work to do, then that means she's not gonna want to finish later, right? She's gonna want to finish earlier so that she has more time to go out with her friends. And option C would not work because you only have before. But before what? If you had, for example, I'll try to finish all my stuff before 5 o'clock, then it would make sense. But just before, that's incomplete. So the correct answer is B, earlier. I'll probably be a little bit late. I still need to finish setting up some spreadsheets that I'm gonna send to the main office. See you later. So she is busy setting up spreadsheets. What are spreadsheets? Well, they are these tables that you work with in Microsoft Excel, for example. So basically lots of information in little squares. And also notice that she says gonna. Do you remember what gonna means? Well, it means the same thing as going to, only it's the way that it sounds when spoken. So I'm going to send this to the main office. I'm gonna send this to the main office. I'm gonna send this to the main office. It's all about contraction and reduction. And it is also something that you do not write in a formal message. But what goes in that blank? I'll probably be a little bit late, although, or though, or tough. Well, both although and though have a meaning that is kind of similar to what we would have in Portuguese as no entanto, or maybe entretanto. The problem with although is that it's supposed to be in the beginning of the phrase, not at the end. In the end, you usually have though, separated by a little comma, just like it is in this blank, which means that B is the better option here for this blank. But what about option C? It looks like it, right? Well, option C is a completely different word. The word is tough. So what is the meaning of tough? Well, you can talk about a person being very tough, which means they're a very resistant person. They never give up. Tough can also mean something that is very difficult, very hard to do. So you could say, for example, that this is a very tough task, which means this is very difficult. This is very hard to do. But anyways, let's choose option B and move ahead. And here's the second message. Very short, very to the point, you know. It's just a communication between two friends. So L says, well, that sounds great. She likes the idea. But she warns him, I might be a little bit late though. And why is that? Well, she's very busy. She has some spreadsheets that she needs to set up and send to the main office. So these two messages, they were very casual. And they talked about a very immediate future. So something that was going to happen at the end of the day. So these two messages were very casual and they talked about just a single thing that was going to happen at the end of the week on Friday. Now we're going to see another message which is much more formal than this one, and it talks about a longer period of time. It's a person who is saying, who is making predictions and planning for the week. So this is a message from David Fielder to James Cho. And he says, hello, James. As requested in last week's staff meeting, my plan for the week is to do something. So he starts by making a reference to something that happened in the past, as requested in last week's staff meeting. Well, what is a staff meeting? A staff meeting is a meeting of all the members of a team. And so in this meeting, somebody requested that everybody sends their plans for the week to this person, James Cho. So that's what David Fielder is doing in this message. So what goes in that blank? Well, in the blank, he is using an expression that talks about the text that is going to come after it. So here we have three options. We have as follows, we have following, and we have the follows. Well, it can't be the follows because that doesn't really make sense. And following is missing a little something there. If you had something like my plan is the following, then that would be fine. But you don't have the before following. So our only option is option A. My plan for the week is as follows. And so he starts talking about each one of the days of the week. The first day, today, Monday, I will focus on updating my system in accordance with the recent changes in security standards. Do you still remember in accordance with? So this means something like following these changes and obeying these changes. And then the day after, on Tuesday, he says that he will do something to a network stability test routine. So what is a routine? Well, routine can be like the things that you do every day. But in this case, we're talking about a test routine. A test routine is a series of steps that you take in order to make a complete test. And in this case, what they are testing is the network stability. So is the connection stable? Does it crash? Or maybe is it too slow? Who knows? So what is the verb that you would use in conjunction with routine? Do you do a routine? Do you make a routine? Or do you run a routine? Well, especially in this context that talks about like a technical test and a series of steps, it's very common to use the phrase run a routine or maybe run a test. So to run a test is a very common construction. So in this case, we are going to use that expression. I will run a network stability test routine. So let's choose option A and move ahead. And he's going to do that to verify our system is stable something for the major update rollout. So he is testing the stability of the system in order to install this update. And that's because he needs a minimum stability in order to be able to do this other process. So let's see what our options are for that little blank there. We have stable enough, stable the sufficient, and stable sufficiently. Well, the right choice here is A, stable enough. But let's take a look at these two other options. The sufficient looks like something that could work, right? It looks very similar to what we would have in Portuguese, estável o suficiente. But that is not the way that you use it in English. What you could do to use the word sufficient is to have sufficiently. But the problem with using sufficiently, which is also option C, is the position. You would need to have it before the adjective, which is stable. So a correct way of saying this could be, for example, verify our system is sufficiently stable, not stable sufficiently. That's why C does not work in this context. So let's choose option A and go ahead. And now he's talking about his plans for Wednesday and Thursday. So let's see. On Wednesday and Thursday, I will coordinate something Mark and Stephanie from development in order to relay the results of Tuesday's testing and to ensure the system update is viable and operational. So he is planning to publish these results. That's what the word relay means. But how is he going to coordinate? Is he going to coordinate for, with, or to Mark and Stephanie from development? Well, when you say you are coordinating, it's very common to say that you are coordinating with someone. So you are on the same page. You are working together to do something. Which means that option B, with, is our best option here. And now let's see his plans for Friday. On Friday, I to authorize the rollout process. So he is planning for a moment in the future. What is he going to say in that blank? I tend to authorize, I pretend to authorize, or I intend to authorize. This is one of the most classic false friend situations in English, because pretend does not mean pretender. Instead, pretend could be translated as fingir. The Portuguese word pretender is instead in English said as intend. So I intend to do something, which means I am planning to do this thing in the future. And since he is talking about Friday, which is still in the future, then he's going to use the word intend. I intend to authorize the rollout process. So the best option is C, intend. But there is a condition for that authorization, and the condition is that we have no critical issues to address. So how can we create this idea of a condition, of something that needs to be okay before something else happens? Well, let's see. We could use maybe admitting, assuming, or giving. Well, to admit is usually used when you did something wrong, and then you admit your mistakes. Assuming, on the other hand, means that you take a certain information as being guaranteed. So assuming in Portuguese could be translated as supondo, which makes it the best option here, right? Because when you assume something, you are establishing it as something that's already confirmed, you know, something that you take for granted, something that you believe is correct. In other words, as long as we have no critical issues to address, I intend to authorize the rollout process. So here, B, assuming, is the correct option. And that's it. This is our final message. So as you can see, it is much more formal. It is much more work-related than the other two. So let's take a look at what's going on here. Well, David is sending this message to James, who is probably his supervisor or some kind of authority. So he makes a reference to a moment in the past, this staff meeting, where this kind of plan was requested. And then he talks about Monday, he talks about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then he finishes by talking about Friday. So he gives details about each one of his actions in each one of these days. So most of his activities this week are going to be related to this test that he is running. And then at the end of the week, if everything goes according to plan, then he's going to authorize the rollout process for an update to the system, for example. So that's it for today. I hope that you could detect the difference between a more formal and a more informal message. As you can see, an informal message very often has, it kind of looks like what you would hear a person saying. So this connection with spoken language is a very common aspect of informal writing. So what about you? What are your plans for the week? Let me know in the comments below, and also let me know if you have any questions about this lesson. And as always, thank you very much for watching, and I'll see you next time. Happy studies!